Proverbs 17:9-14. Whoever would foster love covers over an offence, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. Evildoers foster rebellion against God. The messenger of death will be sent against them. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. Evil will never leave the house of one who pays back evil for good. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. And Proverbs 25:19-28. Like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Like a north wind that brings unexpected rain is a sly tongue, which provokes a horrified look. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. That's not my wife. She's not here, but... Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control.
Much, Terry, and good morning to you all, everyone, and thanks Olivia and Graham and Margaret and Katie and the band. And I was so touched that the two things you wanted to share about marriage were just the power of giving together and of praying together. And particularly as we come up next week, we're starting a week as a church of prayer and fasting. And I just wanted to say how much these times do us good in our relationships together as a church. That as Margaret was saying, as we pray together, it knits our hearts. And so in your marriages, in your families, in your communities, in your teams, and together for us as a church, let's pray together. From the 4th to the 11th of September, we've got, you can check out the website, that there's something special in person on the first Sunday evening and on the kind of second Sunday afternoon. And then every day, morning and early evening, there's something on Zoom with a specific focus and different times in the, in the morning. I think the times are, I'm going to get this wrong, so I'm going to say check out the website. The link will be at the end of our time at Prayer and Fasting Week at hrbc.org.uk/prayer and fasting. So please do make the most of that that opportunity. And here's what God put on my heart for that week. I want us to pray in faith. When we pray in faith, things change. You know, so much needs changing in our city and our nation at this time. And I really believe that prayer, it is one of the main vehicles that God uses to work in our lives and through our lives in around us. And so this is the verse that God put on my heart for the whole week. And it's when this father comes and he's got a son who's in all kinds of difficulties. And Jesus says, you know, everything is possible for the person who has faith. And the father cries out and says, I do have faith, but not enough. Help me have more. And I want to pray in faith during this week, but I also want us to pray for faith. For faith for these weeks and months ahead, that God would give us faith as his people together, that the Lord God Almighty is our Father and he hears our prayers. Are you up for that? So next Sunday, beginning of our prayer and fasting week, check out the website, and we'll be wonderful to have those opportunities to pray together, whether in person or during the weekdays online. Right, we're going to turn then to the Proverbs, and we're going to continue our series now in wisdom and being wise with relationships. I want to start with a little story from our family from the last week. During dinner one evening, a quarrel started over dinner in our family. I can't remember what it was about or how it started, but I'm sure it was something silly. But I remember this, it grew very quickly, both in terms of the number of people involved and in terms of the temperature. But thankfully, by God's grace, it stopped quickly too. But I have to say, not before some raised voices and tears. It had lasted perhaps 5 minutes. But you know, there were lessons for all of us from it. There were things that we all had to kind of apologize for in different ways. And I wanted to say this as we think about wisdom for relationships. Relationships are wonderful. They're so special, but relationships are not easy. Do I have an amen for that? They're not easy, whether in family, marriage, friends, neighbors, work, colleagues. You know, we can probably all think of relationships where something has gone wrong. Maybe it was a quarrel that lasted not just for 5 minutes, but for years and years, and maybe is still even unresolved today. You know, relationships need wisdom, particularly because you and I are not perfect. And actually, no one you're related to, family, marriage, neighbors, none of them are perfect either. We need wisdom, and wonderfully, God's word and the book of Proverbs in particular has loads of wisdom on relationships. You know, there's Proverbs on marriage. I love the bit at the end of Proverbs, in Proverbs 31, where the husband is kind of praising the wife in Proverbs 31:29, and says, you know, many women do wonderful, noble things, but you surpass them all, he says. And I just, word to husbands, honor and praise and encourage your wives. You know, I love the Proverbs about friendship. You know, Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I hope you found a friend like that. I hope you can be a friend like that. You know, there's Proverbs for relating to your neighbor. I love this one. Proverbs 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Isn't that good? Very practical. You know, what about this? You know, the Proverbs in the passage that we had read for us in relating to your enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Just an amazing practical proverb about how to show kindness to even your enemies. In fact, the Proverbs talk about, in that same Proverbs 25, about how to even relate to food. It says it is not good to eat too much honey. So think about that as you enjoy your food. And then even your animals, the Proverbs really practical. And in Proverbs 12 verse 10, it says the righteous care for their needs, even of their animals. So there we go. You've covered a whole realm of things. And earlier in our series, we had a whole service on relationships with parents and kind of intergenerational service where we talked about some of that. But I want to just say this, that actually, as you look at the Bible and you look at Proverbs right early on, one of the key things that encourages us in our relationships is this wonderful verse, Proverbs 3 verse 3. I've got it up here on the screen. I'd encourage you to learn this verse. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Should we say this one together? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, I've often scribbled that card, that verse in cards for people on their wedding day. But you know, it's not actually in the book of Proverbs particularly just for marriages. It's just a general proverb. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. And as you look at the Bible, you're going to see that the Bible is full of encouragements for us to allow love to be the main way we relate to one another. Our kids used to have a little kids book based on the famous passage on love in 1 Corinthians 13. And in it, it had this very memorable phrase which said, love says yes to good things and no to bad things. And I want to say this, that I think we kind of get instinctively that love says yes to good things. We get that to act lovingly is to be faithful and kind. What we're less good at in our culture and world is realizing that love says no to bad things. And actually, the book of Proverbs gives us loads of wisdom on relationships that's mostly about how to say no to bad things. In fact, there's a repeated proverb. When I was younger, I used to try and see if I could memorize a whole bunch of verses, and I loved finding verses where it repeated multiple times because it felt like you'd learned two verses. That was just the way I was kind of wired up. And Proverbs 22:3 is exactly the same as Proverbs 27:12. Did you know that? And Proverbs 22:3 says this: the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. It was repeated twice in Proverbs. So there must be something in this. And actually, what it is this importance of when you see danger, it's saying, watch out. And so I've got a couple of things to encourage you to watch out for in your relationships, whether marriage or neighbors or friends or work colleagues. These are things to watch out. And in all the different things that we could focus on in this brief time together, I felt that what I wanted to do was lean into some of the very vivid pictures that Proverbs paints to help us remember things. I love the way the Proverbs do that. Even in the reading that Terry just read for us, there's some really vivid pictures. And, one of the things that really struck me as I was preparing this was the vivid picture in Proverbs 17:14. And this is what it says. I think we got it up here on the screen. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So here's my first point for relationships, whichever they might be, and it's this: watch out, the dam might burst. Like my story at the beginning, how quickly quarrels can get out of hand, like a dam being breached and bursting. You know, in June 1976, at a place called Teton, the Teton Dam began to leak water. And just in 2 days, it went from just a leak to suddenly, boom, this happened and the dam burst. It was catastrophic and obviously for all those underneath, terrible for what happens. And the thing is, quarrels are like a dam bursting. They grow and they get out of hand fast. And so the writer of the Proverbs says this: look, drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So I want to ask this morning, are you quarreling with someone at the moment? A quarrel is, if you look up in the dictionary, to have a heated argument or disagreement. Is there someone that you're quarreling with at the moment? You know, some years back, we had a disagreement with one of our neighbors. It was over parking, it got heated, and we still are feeling, now years later, the effects of that relationship being damaged. And now we're trying to improve that relationship, but it's still hard. And you know, the irony is now that we don't even have a car that we were trying to park. That's ironic, isn't it? But the effects of the quarrel, the disagreement, are still damaging. And I want to say this, couples, marriages, it particularly is damaging and draining when there are quarrels in marriage. It was quite funny when you read the proverb. It's so memorable. You know, it's better to sort of, what is it? Proverbs, I've got it here. Proverbs 25:24. It says this. It says, better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I want to also add, than a quarrelsome husband. Or I would also add, a quarrelsome colleague at work. Better to have a rubbish office than a nice office next to a quarrelsome colleague. Absolutely. So don't be that colleague. Don't be that flatmate. Don't be that spouse. Avoid quarreling. You know, Proverbs 17 verse 1. We didn't have a chance to read it earlier on, but it says this: better a dry crust with peace and quiet than having a house full of feasting with strife. Maybe you've kind of known that. Even at Christmas time, the food is spread, but there's such tension in the family that you think, man, I'd rather just be having a piece of bread down, you know, in the cold somewhere. And you know, that is the reality of the danger of quarreling. So how do you do that? How do you not quarrel and avoid quarreling? Well, it's not by saying that nothing matters. You know, many of the Proverbs talk about the importance of speaking the truth in love. I love things, and even one of them that got written up here was, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I mean, that's a great proverb. And there's another one, open rebuke is better than hidden love. Or one in the passage we had read, a rebuke inspires a discerning person. So the Proverbs are not saying don't speak the truth, or don't challenge, or don't disagree. It's not saying that. But what the Proverbs do say, and again in our first reading, it had this brilliant piece of advice. In Proverbs 17 verse 9, it said this: he who covers over an offense promotes love, but he who repeats the matter separates best friends. And one thing I can remember about that meal that I referred to right at the start in our family is that we didn't cover over the matter. What we did was kept repeating it, and that's how it grew. So stop quarreling before the dam bursts. Watch out. It will bless your relationships. But here's the second piece of advice, another vivid picture from the book of Proverbs. And it's this: watch out, it's a trap. Watch out, it's a trap. Now, if you're the Proverbs has this picture in Proverbs chapter 7, which we'll come to in a moment, of this kind of bird getting caught in a net or a snare. And it's kind of a warning for us. Look, don't, you know, watch out that you can get into all kinds of pickles that can ruin your relationship. And as I think about a trap, I have to say, I'm of the generation where I can't help thinking of Star Wars. And particularly, you, if you're a Star Wars fan, will know Admiral Ackbar is famous that he's always saying it's a trap. It's like his little catchphrase in any of the Star Wars films. Watch out, it's a trap. And he says things like, you know, so take evasive action, or pull up, it's a trap. And basically he's saying, look, if there's a trap, avoid it at all costs. And the reality is, many relationships are ruined by us falling into traps. You know, our second reading, Proverbs 25, 28, says this: like a city without walls, like a city whose walls are broken down, is a person who lacks self-control. The thing about a city whose walls are broken down is that it's easy for the enemy to get in and for the person and the city to get defeated. One of the famous scenes in films where there's a kind of siege of a city is in a film called The Lord of the Rings. And the second film, there's a city called Helm's Deep, and there's this kind of hordes of armies attacking it. You can't really see it in this picture, so don't worry. It just gives you the kind of feeling for it. But what happens is that someone kind of plants some explosive underneath some of the walls, and they're trying to light a fire to kind of explode the wall. And this kind of prince, this guy called Aragorn in the film, sees that someone's trying to destroy the wall, and he knows that if the wall goes down, if it starts to break, that actually it's going to be terrible for the city and for those in it. And so what Aragorn does is he gets the best kind of archer, a guy called Legolas, that he can find, and he's shouting at him, get the guy who's going to try and destroy the wall, take him down. And he's desperate to stop the wall being breached, because he knows if the wall goes down, it'll be terrible for the city. And the book of Proverbs is like that. It's like the writers of Proverbs is like Aragorn shouting at you, take down the thing that's going to stop your wall getting broken. Watch out for that trap. Get it. Stop it. Avoid it. And in fact, early on in Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, time and again, the writer of the Proverbs says, particularly in terms of our relationships in marriage, says, watch out for those things that are going to lead you astray. In fact, at the end in Proverbs 7, there's this kind of vivid picture of someone being tempted into adultery, being led astray by their desires, following a forbidden woman, someone not their wife. And this is what the writer of the Proverbs says. He says this, Proverbs 7, with persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Goes on. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention. Do what I say. Do not let your heart run to her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. I mean, wow, what vivid pictures of warning. It's like saying, watch out, it's a trap. And you know, I'm thinking of the kids who are around. Many of them you might be kind of hearing in the hall, but you know, I know my kids really early on in church, they learned the Ten Commandments, one of which was don't commit adultery. And that's what this proverb is basically saying. It's saying, don't commit adultery because it's a trap. You think it will be good for you, but actually it will not. It will ruin your life. It will cost you far more than you think. So, you know, adults, young people, watch out. Whether it's an unhelpful relationship, or it's what you're watching online or TV, watch out that you don't get led into a trap, led by lust, not by love, because it will damage your relationships that really matter in life. It will cost you far more than you think. And the Proverbs are really practical. They say, look, love is saying yes to good things, love and faithfulness, never let it leave you. But it's saying no to bad things. And actually, it describes that way like a path that leads to the grave. So Proverbs, one of the Proverbs I love is Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, it says, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it, or some versions put, for from it is the wellspring of life. So what's the wisdom for relationships? Well, it's this, have self-control. Love says no to the bad things, and so it can say yes to faithfulness, to love, to never letting those things leave you. So whether that be in marriage or in a friendship or business, you have to say no to adultery or no to lust or no to lies or no to selfishness. That's the way your relationships will thrive. You know, we live in a world that abounds in temptation and where we need the Spirit's help to be self-controlled. So I just want to give, as I end, just some really practical tips on how to help be self-controlled. And I've just kind of given them the acronym ART. Here we go. They're just simply this. Ask God for help. You know, for his Spirit to come and fill us each day. Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control. So ask for God's help. And then remember the why. Remember why it's worth saying no. Remember the cost that there can be. But remember too that Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That way is the way of life and the way of blessing, the way of wisdom rather than the way of folly. So remember the why, and then T, just talk to someone else, because we all struggle with temptations of different kinds. And so we need to draw alongside a wise person and just get them to pray for us and stand with us and encourage us and to bring things to the light. So if you're standing firm, the Apostle Paul says, be careful that you don't fall. We need wisdom in our relationships, and good relationships help us have wisdom for relationships. But I want to end here. What happens if you've already feel like you've missed those two things? What happens if your relationships have already been damaged? Maybe it feels like the dam burst quite a long time ago. The quarrel got out of hand. Maybe you feel like you've lacked self-control in the past and it's got you trapped. And it is now costing you in many, many ways, affecting your relationship with God and those that matter to you. What do you do? Is there hope? Well, here is the wonderful news. Yes, there is. There is hope. Wonderfully, God knows that all of us need help, that we have ended up damaging our relationship with others and with Him. And so God has come in His love. He wouldn't leave us as it is. He's the one who was willing to overlook an offense, to even pay the damage of my offense to Him and of your offense to Him. And the cost of that damage was immense. But He, led by love, went down the stairway, as it were, the pathway to death, to give us life. He was led like an ox to the slaughter, or like a lamb to the slaughter, as other passages put it, not for any folly or sin that He did, but because we were the ones who were trapped like a bird in a snare. We were the ones where it was going to cost us our lives. And so He, in wisdom and love, in huge self-sacrifice, with amazing self-control, He went and was imprisoned for you and I. He went and was trapped and killed and crucified, and with amazing love and self-control stayed there, that you and I might be free, whatever we're going through, that our relationships with God and with others could be restored, that you and I could have a new start, that we could have hope and redemption. And that is why the Bible isn't just Proverbs. Proverbs are great general bits of advice, but the Bible is above all a story of how our relationships have got broken, but how God, in His amazing grace and love, has stepped in to bring redemption and rescue and healing and restoration to our relationships with God and with one another. In Jesus, the Bible says, is found the wisdom of God. In Jesus is seen the love of God. In Jesus is modeled for you and I how to relate to others with that love and faithfulness, avoiding quarrels. You know, Jesus, He even didn't quarrel with those who falsely accused Him. You know, with Jesus, there's that way to live a life of love with self-control, even when it cost Him greatly. So I want to encourage us today, end of August, bank holiday weekend, come to Jesus afresh. Maybe even for the first time, come and receive His love, His help, for whatever is past, for whatever lies ahead, for whatever you're facing in your relationships right now. Come and ask Jesus for His help, receive His love. So I want to pray. Let's bow our heads, and I just want to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, help us see the help and the hope that there is in Jesus for our relationships. Come, Lord. Come, Spirit of the living God. Perhaps just in the stillness, you're very aware of a quarrel that's still ongoing in your life and relationships. Maybe just pray for restoration, for healing. Pray for the other person. Come, Holy Spirit. And then maybe you want to echo this simple prayer in your heart. Lord, help us not quarrel. But perhaps too, you've lacked self-control. And it has or it is damaging your relationships. And I just pray, come Holy Spirit and bring hope. A great place just to confess our sin to God, to get right with Him afresh, to receive what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and just to pray this prayer. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit and help us have self-control. Fill us with Your love and help us live lives of love and faithfulness. Jesus, we thank you that there is hope in you. So I wonder if you could stand with me as we continue to respond in prayer. And I'm just going to invite the prayer team to just step out where you are. Some will be upstairs, some downstairs. And I want to encourage you just in this very simple thing. We had our little things, which I did have, but I've just lost mine. Your little prayer things, your people. Here we go. And you might just have someone, neighbor, friend, work colleague, spouse, child, parent. And you just had them on your heart a lot through this service. And you just might want to go to one of the prayer team and say, hey, can we just pray for my friend, my neighbor, my... And just feel free to pray. They'll just pray blessing. Holy Spirit, just to come and pour and help you in that relationship. So it might be anything else that's happened, and you're welcome to just go and ask for a fresh touch of God's Spirit. But that's just what I had in mind. So maybe the prayer team could step out, and as we come forward, we could just... Yeah, let's pray for others not in the room that we would be able to bless them. Well, they might be in the room, but let's pray that God would help us. So let's worship together as we praise God.